This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
B. Scott!
My man.
Dude, Happy New Year. Happy New Year to everyone here.
Exciting times, man. Exciting times to be here with you, man.
It is not terrible. It is not a bad thing to be alive on New Year's Day in 2026. Mitch Milmacky on the other side of the glass doing a little double duty here. He's going to hang with us for at least half the show.
Oh, well, nice of him to do.
And then Colin Neal will replace him right about lunchtime. You think Colin will bring us lunch?
No.
Of course not.
No, he will not, nor should he.
Disrespectful. Absolutely should.
Hey, look, it's one thing to have to come in on New Year's Day, and be hazed, because the only reason we would be expecting.
No, not about being hazed. You bring in lunch. I'm more than happy to reimburse him. I mean, I'm not saying pay for it. I'm just saying bring us lunch. We'll give you the money.
Fair enough. I brought my lunch. I came prepared. Because I don't expect nothing from none of y'all.
See, I'll be honest.
Are a team player, though. You'll get people lunch. I will vouch for PC on this. The whole, will Colin bring us, because it is something that you would do, to be fair to you.
I thought mistakenly, that my lunch was packed because last night the lovely mother of children had said to me, you don't have to do that, I'll take care of it.
And she didn't.
Probably because I opened the champagne before she got to do it.
And I was going to say, because she sounds like me.
We know what happens once you open the champagne and 3 bottles later.
Forget everything I said before then, right?
that was the end of all things. Not that it wasn't a good New Year, because 3 bottles of champagne, you're going to have a good New Year.
Well, damn it, Colin better be listening and bring us lunch, dog.
Bring us lunch, dog. Come on.
Something. I know plenty of stuff. There's nobody on the road, by the way. Like, I whisked my way here. No traffic. So he should be able to get in and get out, depending on what's open. But whatever's open, he should be able to get in and get out.
Yeah, I have no idea what's open, by the way. Didn't look. Like I said, with 3 bottles of champagne, I can tell you that when I got up at 6:30 this morning, maybe it took me a half an hour to open my eyes. It's possible. You know, maybe I had to take a couple of aspirin. I mean, it's possible. You know, these things happen on New Year's Day.
Well, we've got balance here, PC, because I am incredibly well rested. I was in bed. Oh, I'm not going to say in bed. I was asleep on my reclining couch by 9:30.
All right. Well, you know what?
I had my mother texting me from New Orleans around all of these celebrities that she was hanging out with. Her and my dad went to New Orleans for New Year's. They had the time that I guess I'm supposed to have, being half their age. But I was asleep by no later than 9:45.
Yeah. You know what? I had a very rough day yesterday. I got in from New York very early in the morning, and then I picked up my dog from the doggy hotel. And then I sat on the couch and I pet my dog for like 2 hours.
That's cute.
Then I went to HEB because clearly we had no food. Right. You know, we've been gone for 2 weeks. There was no food. I decided to make cheesesteaks for dinner.
Oh.
So got like 2 pounds of roast beef and some fresh rolls. I made big, giant cheesesteaks for everybody for dinner. And then the champagne started, and, well, then it was 6:30.
Cheesecake and champagnes, a night at the Creighton House.
Cheesesteaks champagne. You know
not
what?
Mad, not mad at
it's,
it.
It's not a bad way to spend New Year's when you just don't feel it. We used to go out every year.
Yeah.
And then one year we nearly got killed in a head-on collision by a drunk driver driving on the wrong side of the road.
Because that's a thing that people do on New Year's.
We've never gone out since.
I was in Denver this time last year, so I brought in 2025 in Denver, and we had a really great time. Obviously, it was cold because it's that time of year, but by the end of the trip, so let's call it around the third or the fourth, by the time we were ready to come home, I had been punched in the face by a homeless woman.
A homeless woman?
Yeah, a homeless woman. One who I'd never seen before and obviously have not seen since.
Did she outweigh you?
I'm taller. She was probably heftier, but I'm much taller than she was. So she was thicker than I am, but I would imagine that we probably weighed close to the same. But we had never seen each other. She was unprovoked. She just came up to me, and instead of saying hello, punched me dead in the face.
Crazy homeless lady.
Yes.
Middle of Denver.
Yes. On like the their little 16th Street Mall, whatever they call it. It's kind of like analogous to, you know, 6th Street in Austin or something like that. Just kind of walking around, a lot of construction. I thought she was a construction worker. She starts pulling a barricade near me. I try to get out of her way. I think she's working. Nope. She comes closer and closer. I'm like, why is she inching closer? Never expected that she might haul off and punch me.
You must have walked through her designated area.
I don't think I did. I think she just...
You did.
You know, so my girlfriend said that she thought maybe I reminded her of somebody. Maybe she thought she owed me one. and maybe so.
You look like somebody that owed her one, huh?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, so yeah, no, and that's not the reason why I didn't go out, but that is my not near-death experience, but my New Year's experience that I don't necessarily want to relive. Because obviously I couldn't punch the woman back in the face, even though I was very, very, very close to doing so.
I mean, well, homeless, so I guess it's okay.
Oh, if there weren't witnesses, because I followed. I was going to kick the lady. And then, you know, I saw all these other people. There was like a family walking by. I was like, I can't kick this lady in front of this.
Were you going to roundhouse kick her? Like
just a drop
kick her?
No, just like a quick drop kick. I had a coffee in my hand. So I threw my coffee at her, but she had on a jacket. And the coffee was kind of lukewarm. So I didn't feel like that was enough.
Need a headshot.
So I thought I needed to kick her. And I just decided against it. I was like, man, I can't kick this woman in broad daylight in a foreign city. I'm not going to.
He doesn't want to be on the news headlines for that one.
No. I figured I'd just take the L.
It'd probably be worse this year if you tried to do that.
But I still feel like I owe her one. Can't remember exactly what she looked like.
One day, Scott's just going to go to Denver, look around that area, and just find any short, round homeless woman and just start hauling off punches.
Women in downtown Denver, beware. Do not be what I apparently was to this woman and look like somebody who I owe one, because I'll kick you.
Apparently, this woman looks like what Charles Barkley thinks all the women in San Antonio look like.
Oh, worse.
So after spending 2 weeks in New York in the freezing cold, I can tell you that it would take an ungodly amount of money for me to ever go back to New York.
I could see that.
Not only is it like just I'm out on the cold, it snowed twice. Which is nice to look at, but then it's like, oh, I have to move this. I have to shovel it. Yeah, no, I'm out. Out on all that. Out on cold. Out on freezing wind. Out on things being shut down because the 5-6 inches. I'm out on all of that. And out on, you know, in the People's Republic of New York, if you go to the grocery store, you have to bring your own bags.
Yeah.
Because they don't give you bags.
I've heard that, yeah.
And, to give you an idea of how insane the prices are of things in New York, I went to HEB yesterday. Like I said, no food. A can of chunky soup is $1.98. Okay? At King Cullen in New York, which is a local supermarket chain that's like all over Long Island, $4.59.
I would starve.
It's a can of soup.
I feel like if I had lived in New York, I'd have been dead long ago.
Yeah. Reasons to not live in New York for 500, Alex. Oh, there are so many. So I'm really glad to be back in the H where it is not 17 degrees.
No, it's not.
Where there is no snow on the ground. And where the football team does not suck.
That's correct. Neither of them. I know there's only one, but...
New York's got
New York's got two shots at the apple and they can't get it right.
No, and I mean the Giants can't even lose right.
That's true.
You know, they had the number one seed.
Suck either.
They got the number one seed locked up, and then they go and beat the Raiders. Like, you idiots.
Oh, you mean the pick?
They're the number one pick.
You're right.
Set up, yeah. And then they blow it. Like, how 2 years in a row.
This is
two
a thing,
years in a row.
This is a thing that football does not tank properly. And I think it's kind of the nature of the game. Like, you kind of have to have your head on a swivel. If you tank a little bit too much, you could get yourself killed out there. But this is a thing. Sean Bajani mentioned it right before he left in the toss. Like, the Texans did it incorrectly. It ended up working out for them and getting C.J. Stroud. But they – football teams just do not do tanking properly. They don't. It's not a thing.
Well, the Colts have done it properly in the past. And if you saw Carl Irsay's comments about change over the last couple of days, like, changes – people are afraid of change, but I think change is important. Change is inevitable, and change can be good. There's going to be some changes for the shoe after the season. And this is me with all the sorrow and care and hurt in the world in my heart where, basically my heart pumps battery acid.
Are you shedding a thug tear?
This is the tear of battery acid coming down my face, doing absolutely nothing. Yes, I love watching Colts misery. It's a little weird not to be watching Jaguars misery. Because usually there is Jaguars misery to be discussed, but this year they think they're good.
What is sweeter to you? Which tastes sweeter to you, Colts or Jags misery? Because I'm trying to decide this. I hate them both very much.
See, I'm an equal opportunity misery dispeller. I'm perfectly fine with both of them being miserable.
Fair enough.
In fact, I'm things that I'm enjoying: Colts misery,
yeah;
fake Oilers misery, Cowboys misery.
They are miserable.
I'm fans of all of these things.
Yeah, they are miserable. They just got rid of their used-to-be star cornerback who likes to call out reporters in the hallway for tweeting very innocuous things. So, yeah, that's a miserable place.
Yeah, they have the wrong Diggs.
Oh, is there a right one?
Yeah, the right one's up in New England catching a truckload of passes.
Also allegedly possibly strangling people.
Yeah, allegedly.
So, I mean, there is that.
I'm going to hold off on the allegedly because...
Well, stay with the allegedly.
Well, all right, let me
You're
going to
hold off on the allegation.
I'm holding
stick
off
with the allegedly.
On the seriousness of the allegation because anytime that you are especially involved with the kind of person that he's with, big-time celebrity, super rich, there's always somebody... who's got a nefarious plan about how they're going to milk you for some dollars. And until proven otherwise, this just kind of smells like we're trying to milk you for some dollars. Although I did find it rather interesting. They had the clip of Cardi B on the field.
Yeah.
And Stefon Diggs is like, they're talking, and then he gets down on his knees in front of her. And I'm like, what did she say? Get down on your knees and worship me? And then he gets down, and she's like, good boy. And then he was able to get back up. Because I could see that relationship being like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Cardi B seems much more deferential than that. I don't know how familiar you are with her previous relationship, but she is what the internet streets might consider a bit of a bird. And that's just, kind of a...
For those of us who are not internet street savvy.
Flimsy. Let's just call it flimsy. A bit of a floozy, if you will. I doubt that. I think that part of the appeal of Cardi B outside of the obvious... would be that it would be the opposite of the way that you just described.
So isn't she the one that used to be a professional dater, per se?
Dater? A way to put it.
And then
that's
would
a term.
Would rob people after she finished the job?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That's definitely the kind of person I want to date. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exciting times.
Imagine having all the money. Like you've got money that you could never spend. And Stefon Diggs has money he could never spend unless he really, really wanted to blow it all. I just feel like I'd try to find somebody who brings more to the table than I used to rob people when I dated for money.
Well, to be fair, PC, she's come a long, long, long way from then.
Well, no, she's just rich now.
She's rich. She's won a Grammy Award for the best rap album. She's not just rich. She's incredibly rich and famous. Like, she's so far beyond. She does not need to rob Stefon Diggs or anybody else.
I understand that I am old and white. Okay, I understand this.
I'm glad you understand.
But the idea that you can win a Grammy with...
She shouldn't have won it, by the
with
way. With
these incredible lyrics like, I am Cardi B. I am in the club. This is where I be. That is Grammy material. And I feel like this is why I don't listen to popular music anymore, and this is why I don't watch award shows, because they would all make me put a gun in my face.
Yeah, the awards are not for you, PC. You are out of the demo. 100%.
I didn't even want to watch the bastardized version of Dick Clark's Rockin' Eve with Ryan Dipbleep, who...
Seacrest?
Oh, I can't stand that guy. If ever somebody had a punchable face, he's the dude. And his face looks like it's made out of rubber anyway, so you should be able to punch it all day long.
He's just so ingrained in pop culture. I almost don't have any feeling about him. I just expect him to be there.
There is nobody more fake than Ryan Seacrest.
Isn't that the job? I mean...
Does it have to be?
I mean,
does it have to be fake?
Does the job have to exist
in
the first place?
All I really want out of Dick Clark's Rockin' Eve is Randy Orton to come in with an RKO out of nowhere.
Yeah, I guess. I'd rather just watch a movie.
And of all the acts
or
they had, I didn't want to watch any of them. Like, there was zero appeal for me to watch. I watched 0 seconds of Dick Clark's Rockin' Eve, which was a staple of my life for like 40 years. And yeah, just like watched 0 minutes of it. Last year, I probably only watched 10 minutes of it.
Yeah. Life is changing in that way, PC. Like it's what they say, we're losing recipes, as the kids like to say. Losing recipes, and that's one of them.
Well, it's that or I'm losing sanity. It's one or the other.
It's probably both.
I'm not
probably both.
I'm not ready to come to grips with the idea that I'm losing sanity. I'm not ready to come to grips with that yet. But it is New Year's Day.
It is.
And on New Year's Day, it's college football. There is a ton of college football.
Triple header today, baby.
And the best thing, even if you're not a big college football fan or you're a casual fan, I mean, I am not a hardcore college football fan.
Really? Well, I guess
growing
is that
up
an
in
East
New
Coast
York,
thing?
Yeah. Well, growing up in New York, we didn't have a college football team. There were no college football teams. The closest you got in New York,
Rutgers.
You had Rutgers was ass. Rutgers didn't even like get on the map until Greg Schiano was there.
Fair enough.
But. Like, Notre Dame was on Channel 4, which was NBC. You always got Notre Dame. Every now and then, you get to watch Boston College. Boston College has been terrible for three decades. I think the last time Boston College mattered, Tom Coughlin was the head coach. And that was before he went to Jacksonville.
Yikes.
So, they could, you know, ZFG on that. None of the other, even, like, smaller local programs, well, didn't even exist.
That's interesting.
You know, like Stony Brook wasn't a D1 program. Nobody cared about Hofstra. They weren't anything really till you know, like Wayne Krabet was there, and then Marcus Colson, he was there. But they didn't have a big run, and then they dissolved their football program so they could put the money into their medical program.
Yeah.
So there's a big stadium across the street from Nassau Coliseum, that it just sits there.
Yeah.
They play high school football, they play lacrosse, they play soccer there, but there's no college football there anymore. There's not really, you know, my alma mater is now D1. When I was there, we were not D1. In fact, we played on a grass field with wooden bleachers. Where we played when I went to college, no high school team in this entire greater Houston area plays on such a slop fest. That was a college program. So it's like college football wasn't a big thing in the, you know, the greater New York City area, because there wasn't any, but you had two NFL teams. And you know, but New Year's Day, this is, if you're not a big college football fan, you're gonna see a lot of guys who are gonna be in the draft. And you're gonna get to know some of the players your team might take. And that's one of the really cool parts about New Year's Day.
Well, I think the game that's going to start at 11, Oregon and Texas Tech, could be a quasi-national championship game in and of itself, because I think both of these teams...
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Teams between Oregon and Tech are both capable of winning the whole damn thing. So the only downside of being in here with you today is that my attention is going to be divided once this game does start at 11. I'm incredibly excited to watch Oregon Texas Tech.
Hey, listen, I'd rather watch the bowl game than look at me too. So you know, we're pretty cool with that one. So we'll talk about some of those games. We'll keep you up to date on Texas Tech and Oregon as the game goes on. You got Alabama and Indiana at 3. You got Ole Miss and Georgia at 7. We'll take a look at those games a little bit later on. Coming up next, going to have you pick your poison here. Patrick Creighton, Brandon Scott, In the Loop.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live, always local.
So what do I do? Just take a nose hit?
Just take a good whiff of that.
It's my first. God almighty.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, B. Scott, pick your poison.
All right,
and those of you who are out here listening to us right now, probably still in your pajamas, as you should be, 713-572-4610, you can pick your poison as well. Who do you want on the road, first round of the playoffs? You want the Steelers, or you want the Ravens? Now, the Steelers... The Houston Oilers were 0-3 in the postseason against the Pittsburgh Steelers. That included 2 AFC title games where the Steelers pretty much whooped that ass.
Come on, no, that's why they're dead. That's right? Why the Oilers are dead.
They beat
useless.
Them 34-5 in 1978 at Three Rivers, where the Oilers committed 3 turnovers in the final 48 seconds of the first half. That led to 17 Steeler points. And then the next year, 1979, Oilers lose at Three Rivers again, 27-13. That's the Mike Renfro game where Mike Renfro has what looks like a game-tying touchdown in the third quarter that poor officiating ruled incomplete. They wind up kicking the field goal. They're down 17-13. The Steelers then score 10 unanswered points in the fourth to seal it. Or the Baltimore Ravens, whom the Texans are 0-2 in the postseason, lost in 2011 in the divisional round 20-13 at M&T Bank, and then more recently in 2023 AFC divisional round lost 34-10 at M&T Bank Stadium in a game where Lamar Jackson did what he always does to the Texans, which is dominate in the air, dominate on the ground. The only Texans touchdown was a 67-yard punt return by Steven Sims. Texans get outscored 24-0 in the second half. Now, the Texans have never beaten Lamar Jackson. They're 0-3 against Lamar Jackson, including the Christmas Day debacle last year at NRG, where Jackson broke the NFL quarterback rushing yards record, had a 48-yard touchdown. And pretty much the only highlight of the game was the halftime show at Beyonce.
Yeah. The score was 31-2, if I remember
31-2. It was just...
I believe the score was 31-2.
Abysmal.
That feels correct. It was one of those games where, and the Texans have had a couple of these over the last several years, where they score an amount that is embarrassing, where you would just rather they not score at all.
Just get shut out.
like they had one of those against the Cardinals, I think in J.J. Watt's first year there, so like 2021, where they scored 5. It was like 30-something to 5. Don't score 5 or 2. Score 3, 6, 0, not 5, not 2.
Can we get 4?
No.
Can we get 4?
Not even 4. Give me 0. Like, lose respectfully. Come on now. It was one of those games.
So there is history with the Steelers, who were the obstacle preventing the Oilers from ever getting to a Super Bowl. There is history with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, where Lamar Jackson just pretty much kicks the Texans' ass every time he plays them.
He does.
So who do you want? Do you want revenge for the longstanding history, or do you want revenge for the recent history? Do you want the Steelers? Do you want the Ravens?
So the part that I really like about this is that it's pick your poison. But curveball here, I don't think neither one of these teams is poison. I think they're both food. Either one of these teams that the Texans get, whether it be the Steelers, whether it be the Ravens, I like the Texans. I'm taking the Texans on the road against either one of these outfits. History be damned. And so I'll take revenge against either one. Whichever one of those that y'all prefer, I'll take it. But in terms of which opponent I prefer, choose your own adventure, pick your poison. Give me the Ravens, man. I like the Texans' chances against the Ravens even more so than the Steelers. And that might sound crazy because you're like, well, wait a minute. They got Lamar Jackson. PC just read off the history of how Lamar Jackson owns the Texans. They also have Derrick Henry, who maybe not quite as recently, but over the course of time, throughout the course of a longer history, has also owned the Texans, more so with a different team. But these are the two players that have owned the Texans. I get that. But the way I see it, they haven't seen a Texans defense like this. And quite honestly, the defense on the other side, the Ravens defense, that's the one that I'm trying to get after. Like, I think that, just to be honest here, if you are a Texans offensive player, you'd rather see the Ravens. If you're a Texans defensive player, you'd rather see the Steelers, right? If you play defense for the Texans, you don't want to be chasing around Lamar Jackson and trying to bow up and tackle Derrick Henry all day. You'd much rather go up against this version of Aaron Rodgers and a Steelers offense that honestly just does not threaten you, does not scare you, I think, at all. So if you're on the defensive side, that's who you would prefer. But overall, like, I think that the defense can handle, the Texans defense, that is, can handle this version of Lamar Jackson and this version of the Ravens. And I think that the Texans offense can actually go off against this version of the Ravens defense. So if I take it in totality, give me the Ravens. I ain't scared. This ain't last year. This ain't previous years. These ain't your big brothers or your uncle's Ravens, or Texans for that matter. So give me the Ravens.
So what if I told you the Pittsburgh Steelers are 29th in the NFL in passing defense, allowing 245.3 passing yards per game.
And this offense, which is inconsistent to say the least, could use a cone like that, if you will. A cone defense like that. Somebody that they can throw the ball on. Give me that. As opposed to a Steelers defense that ranks in the top 5 in pass rush win rate, right? So that means they can at least get after the pass.
That's the Steelers that I gave you that number on, that are 29th in the league in passing yards allowed.
I thought you were giving me the Ravens. They're just as bad, though.
That's the Steelers. The Ravens have the exact same number.
See? So yeah, so back to my earlier point.
Yes, you were not wrong.
They're both
food. I just
hadn't
set that part up yet.
They're both food. It will be time to eat come next, whenever they schedule this game for. Like, when it comes time for the first round of the playoffs, no matter if it's the Steelers or the Ravens, give me the Texans. If I got to choose one that I prefer, it's going to be the Ravens. But hey, look, at the very least, the Steelers can, especially if T.J. Watt turns out to be healthy. We'll see what happens with that. But the Steelers at least have a redeeming quality on defense. The Ravens simply do not. They don't get after the passer. They give up a lot of yards through the air. They're just an easier operation to go against.
You know, there's the it's what I call Texans PTSD.
I'm trying to fight against that.
Which I find there is a great deal of Texans fans with Texans PTSD. And I understand this because, again, I growing up of a Giants fan, there were, despite the fact that they have won 4 Super Bowls in my lifetime, they have also had a lot of seasons that would make you want to drink very heavily. They currently have one of the dumbest owners in all of the NFL, maybe only outrivaled by the other owner in the same building.
Is that the most? Are the Giants the most Super Bowl or bust franchise there is? It feels like they're either winning the Super Bowl or embarrassing y'all.
They are 4-1 in the Super Bowl.
One or the other.
And the Super Bowl they lost, they got embarrassed. And they have had a lot of seasons where they have been just holy bleep awful. In fact, over the last decade, the only team with a worse cumulative record than the New York Giants over the last 10 years...
gotta be the Browns.
...is the Jets. Even the Browns better than the Giants.
That's right. They did have the Baker Mayfield, Nick Chubb stretch there where they were okay.
I mean, even... Just pick whatever, like, awful team. The Cardinals, they're better than the Giants, right? Everybody is better than the Giants, and it's just, it's shameful. It's despicable. The Bengals, the I mean, you've got, hell, right here, you got the fake Oilers. They're better than the Giants over the last decade. It's, they're that awful.
Who would you rather face? Steelers or Ravens? If you are on the Texans and we put truth serum, because they're not going to actually tell us, but if you were to be honest and if you were a Texan, who would you rather face?
I think I'd rather face the Steelers. And the reason I'd rather face the Steelers is if I can keep C.J. Stroud upright for 2 seconds, he's going to shred that awful secondary.
Yeah.
And nothing about the Steelers' offense scares me. Absolutely nothing. Not 750-year-old Aaron Q. Rodgers. Not their non-existent running game. Not Pat Freiermuth. Or, you know, like there is nothing about the Steelers' offense that scares me. So,
the Texans do have a little bit of a tight end weakness here or there. They are susceptible to the tight end. Freiermuth is nice.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Yeah, but they don't use him the way you would think they would use him.
And then they're just not good. They're just flat out not good.
But I don't...
me either.
I don't like anything they do offensively. And with the Texans' defense, like, to me, how awesome would it be to potentially end Aaron Rodgers' career by just battering him, bruising him, sacking him, picking him off, stripping him, and beating his ass into the ground.
Don't threaten me with a good time, PC.
I feel like that is the best possible way for Aaron Rodgers' career to end, is for him to just take the most colossal ass-kicking of his life.
You know what? I think you've convinced me. I didn't think about it this way. I like Aaron Rodgers far less. I don't want to use the word hate or anything. I like him far less than I like Lamar Jackson. Or I like Lamar Jackson a lot more than I like Aaron Rodgers.
There's no reason to not like Lamar Jackson.
Not at all.
He just beats you on the field.
Yeah, no, I actually do like Lamar Jackson.
I got a lot of reasons not to like Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
God, I would love his. You know what? Send him back to some dark cave with no lights and a bucket to you-know-what in. Okay? Can't wait to retire him.
Whose face would you rather like just shove into the turf? Would you rather just like mash into the turf? Aaron Rodgers.
It's always Aaron Rodgers.
So yeah.
Always Aaron
Rodgers. I don't think I thought about it that way. From that standpoint, I absolutely would rather the Steelers. But that comes with the belief that they would win the game no matter what against whoever they face. And so I'd rather get that ass kicking to the one that I feel like deserves it most.
Coming up next, you know, it's not how any of us expected the Texans to get here, yet here we are. Get to it next. He's Brandon Scott. I'm Patrick Creighton. In for the guys on In the Loop.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adatula.
Patrick Creighton, Brandon Scott, in for the guys on In the Loop. Happy New Year to all of you from all of us. And, B. Scott, you know, we were talking about, you know, the Texans and getting from, you know, you want the Steelers, you want the Ravens. And look, this season, I think we all had a lot of aspirations for the Texans coming into this season. There's a little piece of paper on that wall behind you that before the season, I picked them to win 12 games.
Well, look at you.
And oddly enough, they are one win from winning 12 games, and I will tell you that.
So you were not on cocaine.
It is absolutely not in any way, shape, or form close to how I expected them to win 12 games.
No.
Yet, here we are. And coming from 0-3, which is pretty much the bottom, to be the first team in NFL history to start 0-3 and make the postseason twice. For you, what do you consider the biggest reasons for the Texans' turnaround and this 8-game win streak that has them currently the 5 seed in the AFC?
I think they finish games better. So that's one from like an overall more generic team standpoint. I would go more specifically, though, and look, this is a tough argument to make because we all still have our complaints or criticisms about the offense and it going through its lulls and stretches where it just looks inept or incompetent. But I think that the rookies emerging in the way that they have, just kind of being, either small factors or non-factors early on in the season to now being major factors and major contributors at this point in the season is just something that you could not account for or have to account for now as being an obvious difference, right? Like, you're not opening up the game your first third down play with a deep shot to Jaden Higgins for a touchdown earlier in the year. You're not doing it on the second drive to Jalen Noel earlier in the year, even though I know his only other touchdown in this season, I think, came in the Baltimore game, if I'm not mistaken. But think about it. That's it. Those are his only two touchdowns. One against Baltimore, then the most recent game, nothing else. Now, we've seen a lot of him in the return game, and he's been really good there. But these were not guys that really factored much into whether it was the game plan or just how they executed. They did not target these guys a whole lot. It did not seem like they had a whole lot of options outside of Nico Collins, right? It was kind of like Nico Collins or bust. And then sometimes not even that. Maybe Dalton Schultz here and there. There was like a Christian Kirk game once he finally came back. But for
there was a game.
But yes. For the most part, like it's been really rough. And now I think, and then of course the Woody Marks thing, right? He wasn't your lead back to start the season. He is now. And that has worked out. So I think the emergence of the rookies, to name one, and then just the simple ability to close out games. You got to think about it. They lost a lot of close games, right? I don't think they've been blown out yet. The closest to a blowout was probably that Seattle game.
Yeah, where they lose by 10.
Yeah, so every game has been close except for that one. And even that one is only losing by 10. So it's the ability to close a game, like win a close game by closing a game, and also the emergence of their rookies as weapons. And I think the defense as well has, you know, started off really good and has steadily improved to become actually dominant. They went from a really good defense to a dominant defense. They went from non-existent contributions from their rookies to key contributions from their rookies.
No, think about the first three games of the season, right? The Texans defense has an ultimate failure at the very end of the game that cost them the game.
Yeah.
Against the Rams,
yep.
Against the Bucs, and then against the
Jaguars. Yeah.
But I mean, the one against the Bucs was the most egregious.
Yeah.
But all three of those games, like, this was a team that, okay, they're going to be a defense first team, and late in the game, they've got a lead, or the game is tied, and very late in the game, they just give it right up down the field nice and easy,
yeah.
and they're 0-3, and we're wondering, all right, what is this team? The offense still looks out of sync. The offensive line is still a mess. The defense is falling apart at the very end. What are the Texans? What are we watching? And to me, I think very important has been the evolution of the offensive line, right? Cam Robinson, not here. Lakin Tomlinson, not here. That was just starting left tackle and starting left guard week one.
Yeah.
And they're not here. You have figured some things out, right? So you had Titus Howard playing really well at right tackle.
Well, they did start the rookie. They did start Ursary, at least.
They started him at right tackle. First week, he played right tackle,
right.
And then he moved to left tackle. You had Titus playing guard and then back to tackle, and he played very well at tackle. They've moved him back to guard because, well, they figured out they don't have a left guard. I think that was the same problem they had a year ago. They didn't have a left guard. Titus has
been
played,
their problem for several years now.
Believe it or not, now Titus, who has always been a really good right tackle and a mediocre left guard, he's played really well at left guard this year. Jake Andrews has not had a great season, but over the last 5 weeks, he's had a big improvement where he has been one of the best centers in the league in pass protection for a guy who previously was getting beat like a drum. You've got Ed Ingram at right guard, who has been their best run blocker, struggles in pass protection, but has they have their highest yards per carry running behind Ed Ingram. Trent Brown, who started the year essentially on the pup list and didn't miss half the season, has now become the right tackle, allowing you to kick Titus in. And Blake Fisher, who I think 90% of this city thinks is a bust, found a niche as the sixth offensive lineman in the jumbo package, and then did not allow a single pressure last week starting at left tackle. Now, I don't know how long that starts, and I don't know if Maybe he's a guy who's just better on the left side than the right side, or maybe playing the jumbo package has helped him grow as a player by leaps and bounds. Because to me, that was one of the biggest reasons why the offense found its footing, particularly with Davis Mills under center, was because they went to this six lineman alignment. They went to this jumbo package. Every time they start a drive, 57 is reported eligible, except that one time where apparently the ref like didn't hear him and they threw a flag. But pretty much every drive begins with 57 and eligible. And that has improved their pass protection. That has given them a little bump on the run on that side. And they have been a better offensive team since they started using the jumbo package heavy on a regular basis. And the other side to that is, well, what has the effect been on the quarterback position? Well, check this out. You know how early in the season there was a lot of complaints about CJ's not getting through his reads, CJ's not getting through his progressions, partly because CJ was probably getting clobbered before he finished a three-step drop. But that's a different story.
It's like, what progression? I'm on the ground.
Since week 11, according to FTN, they did a quarterback read progression distribution chart. Number one in progression rate is Dak Prescott, who may lead the NFL in passing despite being on like one of the worst defensive passing teams in the league. 96.5% progression rate. Number two at 96.4 is C.J. Stroud. The improvement of the line, which this year, you think about last year, how awful they were, they gave up 54 sacks.
Yeah.
Well, this year, they've only given up 31 sacks, which is tied for 10th best in the league. Before the season started, part of my explanation of why they're going to go 12-5 is the offensive line will be better. And if they're just somewhere between 12 and 20 instead of, 30 to 32, if they're just somewhere between 12 and 20, this will be a good enough offense that they're going to win a whole lot of games. The defense ain't going to give up a lot of points.
Yeah, I think that – so all of this, what you say, is true. I think that also the quarterbacks deserve a little bit of credit in this as well, though. The improved sack numbers and the pressure that they're facing. First, I start with Davis Mills in that three-game stretch where he started. The kind of the hallmark of his time there was getting the ball out quick. It's like, get the ball to Nico. Get the ball out quick. Like, he was not taking sacks. And then C.J. Stroud, to his credit, has also done – a much better job of, hey, when there is time, because this was an issue with CJ. He would hold the ball a little bit too long with the belief that he could find a play or make a play. He is giving up on plays quicker and not taking some of those unnecessary sacks that he used to take. So on top of the offensive line improving, that, like you mentioned, and which is true, you got an improved offensive line and a better decision-making quarterback from the reads to understanding when a play is dead and throwing the ball away. He's done a much better job of not taking unnecessary sacks, even when the pocket is muddy or whatever the case may be.
No, spot on with that. We have seen CJ, really, since he's come back, be more willing to throw the ball away or just ground it, just put it in the dirt.
Yep.
Which, like you said, he had that college mentality of, I can stretch this long enough, somebody will come open. But there's no college open in the NFL. Right. Like, the D-backs are too good.
And he also played with some of the best wide receivers that college football had to offer at the time.
That did not hurt.
And so, like, between his own ability and the belief in these superstars at wide receivers, like, of course I can hold on to the ball and get it to somebody. How it works here.
If I just wait another second, JSN's getting open.
Exactly.
By the way, that's working out pretty well for Sam Darnold, If I just wait an extra second, JSN's getting open.
He was right, by the way. He was right at the time. It's just not the same today.
So I think those two are really the two biggest reasons is the offensive line's evolution. And I think, their offensive line coach, who was much derided at the beginning of the year, they just kept a guy from last year. Why is it going to be any better? Well, we've seen it's better. It's a lot better. And we've seen kind of an evolution here with CJ, particularly since week 11, where he has become a little bit different quarterback, a little more mature quarterback. Willing to accept taking what is on the table as opposed to sending it back for more.
Yeah. Yeah. And not just is the offensive line better year to year. The beauty of it is that you've been able to see the progression within the year, kind of to your point that you're talking about, like the difference, what's allowed them to go on this streak. you know, we can go back to that Jacksonville game. To me, that first Jacksonville game was their most egregious loss because I thought the Jaguars were doing their very best to give them the game.
Oh, they absolutely
were. They were trying to hand them the game. But if you think back to it, the Texans, they couldn't max protect against a three-man rush. So if you guys don't know what that means you got way more blockers than they got runners or rushers, and they're still getting home.
Max protect, which is
inexcusable.
They've got three rushers. You've got two receivers.
Yeah, but at least no less than six or seven guys in there to protect, and they're getting around all of them.
Still getting beat.
It was a damn shame.
Coming up next, time for Hot Leads. We'll get to it next. PC and P. Scott in the loop.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at RingCentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.